With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now in the Corn Roof Podcast, a sports podcast from Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network. Here is your host, Jared Clinton.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Corn Roof Podcast with the epic voice crack. Let's go. All right, it's your boy Jared Clem alongside my co-host, Mr. Mustachio, Kevin, rocking a Chief Wahoo hat behind the scenes for his Charlie Sheen uniform. Don't worry. For all you PC police, it's okay. I'll put on Kevin's glasses for it because he left them at my house. And we also are joined by the man, the myth, my favorite person to have replaced Kevin, Mr. Pat Donahue. Pat, how you doing, buddy?
Good. It feels really good to, you know, be trying to replace Kevin with him here. So
that's what I'd say to keep him from yelling at me too much. Kev, how you doing, bud?
I'm great. I feel like I'm one obnoxious Eagles take away from Jared going, nope, get the fuck out, Pat. Full time.
Oh, no. I would just punch you in the face first. I wouldn't replace you on the pod.
A bit of a drive for one punch. Also, I don't know if I told you, Pat, when you were on the live stream for the first time, someone who works at Belly Up texted me. He's like, I saw Pat and audibly gasped.
Yeah, it was Shannon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have that effect on people, but I just didn't expect it from the from that live stream that night.
Yeah, no. We had to bring Pat back on because he has to do a round two now that he killed it so much on Tuesday. We have to have him and Kevin in the same show. So as we like to rotate guests, especially on a weird week of football. All right. Speaking of weird weeks, the two Patriots fans are here. Your boys pulled a win out their ass last night because I did not think the Perriman Joe Flacco show had me reeling. I'm like, the fuck is happening? It was literally run, play action to Perriman, run, play. It looked like my Madden game plan when all I had was DK Metcalf back in the day. It was just, it was scary. Like, what the hell? Fellas, what was that game last night? It was like great television.
I don't know. I mean, I will say I was kind of surprised at Joe Flacco for his performance last night. But, man, I don't know who wanted to try to lose that game more.
Definitely the Jets, because they realize, like, oh, shit, we're winning. Buck, Adam Gase freaking us out. Send 12 men in for the field goal. Just send 12.
See, the thing is, Kev put that in the chat, and I was like, you know what? Probably Adam Gase is too dumb to say that, but probably somebody on the – probably the special teams coordinator who knows his job isn't on the line probably was like, guys, we want Gase fired. Send the 12 man in there. Go.
The special teams coordinator wants Gase fired so he can become the interim head coach.
Oh, facts. That's how half of these head coaches get their first job. They're an interim for a guy who gets canned like 2 years earlier.
Yeah, it's Pat. But no, Breshad Perriman made J.C. Jackson look like a scrub out there.
Also, Perriman's one of the fastest receivers in the league, though. You got to give him a little credit.
Yeah, no, I'm not knocking Breshad Perriman. Breshad Perriman had injury problems early on in his career, but played well for the Bucs last year. Then he's playing reasonably well for the Jets this year, but I don't know what happened on those two touchdowns. A dime in the corner from Joe Flacco also there's nothing you can do on that. I think I'm very conflicted about this game because the Patriots lost three of their games before this by at least one, by no more than one score. The Seahawks, they were looking to tie it up when Cam got stuffed. The Bills, they were looking to take the lead when Cam fumbled it. Noticing a lot of issues with Cam Newton. There was one more that I forget, though. Oh, the Chiefs. They played well against the Chiefs with Brian Hoyer at quarterback. So part of me says this team still has some pieces. They could be good once all the guys who opted out come back. But also another part of me says they almost lost to the goddamn Jets.
Yeah, that was too close of a game for the New England Patriots against the New York Jets. Just and it felt like both sides of the ball just had so many errors for the Pats. Obviously compared to last season, it's watching a completely different team. And even this season, they let a lot of the mistakes show.
I've been a big proponent though of trade everyone, except the few pieces that I didn't want them to trade. Chase Winovich, J.C. Jackson, some of their offensive linemen. There is a new member of the "don't fucking trade him" club. Jacoby Myers.
Oh, old, yeah.
Competent receiver.
I know you love that man so much. I definitely, like, I was watching the game last night, and the biggest thing I saw to me was Myers is always getting open. And I'm like, did Bill just find another slot receiver out of a nowhere university? Where's Myers out of?
NC State.
Okay, so maybe not nowhere university, but I mean, like, just he found another slot receiver just gets open. I think there's something in Bill's system where these guys just, there's always an open hitch or an open seam route or a drag or something where these guys can make a living off this shit. You saw it with Amendola, you saw it with Edelman, you saw it with Welker. Even Deion Branson going all the way back to the Super Bowl. It's crazy to me. Like, this Myers kid, there you go. You got your slot receiver. Now get whoever you're tanking for some weapons.
Myers actually is continuing a tradition on the Patriots that we've had for the past 10 years. Myers was recruited as a quarterback at a high school. And then his freshman year at NC State converted to wide receiver.
Fair enough. All right, my last opinion on the Patriots, I think that Bill is secretly, like, trying to strategically tank, but he's, like, he's not trying to make it too obvious, and then, like, Cam or one of these guys will just F up something. He's like, oh, perfect. I don't have to take the blame for it today. So, yeah, I'm on Pat's side on this one. Tank for anybody, including Trevor.
They're not going to get Trevor.
I know they're not going to get Trevor. They may have a shot at Fields or Lance, depending on what the draft order is.
Yeah, since they decided to beat the Jets, they don't really have a shot at Trevor now.
Yeah. I did just do my first mock draft last night, actually. I used updated standings for the draft order. Patriots, I had taking Zach Wilson out of BYU.
I like his game, by the way. I think the competition scares me. But that's then again... true. We also say that about FCS quarterbacks, and they come in and play decently. So it's like, you know, you really can't judge that.
Yeah, FCS quarterbacks don't always play decently. It's very, very, very rare. True. But I don't trust FCS quarterbacks. But also, part of the reason Zach Wilson is he's been compared a little bit to Baker Mayfield with his slight athleticism, his intelligence at the college level, his art, his accuracy. And the Patriots wanted Baker Mayfield a couple years ago, so I think it fits what Belichick and McDaniels want to do going forward.
Fair enough. All righty. Gentlemen, are you ready for America's favorite game?
I love Jeopardy. Rip Alex Trebek.
R.I.P. Alex Trebek.
Rest in peace to a real one.
Absolute damn legend. All right, so one-sentence game. We are kicking it off with Thursday night football. And you know what the worst part is? I completely forgot this game happened until I saw Packers fans tweeting about it. Packers 49ers. Okay, Evan.
We're doing the one sentence game or stay or call?
One sentence game.
I'm very confused. You talked about stay or call for us. Calm down, Packers. They didn't have half their team. Also, Davante Adams, not top five.
Pat?
Kevin's really trying to stay rent-free in the minds of a bunch of Packers fans on that comment. But
dude,
my one sentence...
Basically, he's paying his own mortgage off living there.
My one sentence is, Rodgers balling out on the crippled 49ers.
My sentence is, the Packers are still the softest team that leads the division. The Giants and the Washington football team. I'll go first. Somebody had to win this.
Have fun in Washington, Trey Lance.
Oof.
Giants finally caught a break, but fumbles are apparently really hard to recover.
That play was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Somebody needs to just jump on the ball and just take it. That's all you
gotta do. Can I also bring up something about Alex Smith real quick?
Go for it.
He's their starter going forward. He is comeback player of the year. It is very rude of Rod Rivera to say, hey, Alex Smith, you know the two debilitating leg injuries that have knocked out two NFC East quarterbacks this year? Also, you know that debilitating leg injury that almost cost you your leg a couple years ago? Yeah, we're going to put you in.
Life.
I will say, it is really nice to see him back. Just kudos to him for recovering from that injury.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not knocking him. I just...
Even though Riverboat Ron's dealing with cancer, man, that whole team is just holy shit, they're alive.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. If I were Alex Smith, though, and I just saw what happened to Kyle Allen and Rod Rivera, said, hey, you're starting the rest of the way, I'd go, nope, Dwayne Haskins, your time to shine, Simba.
Dwayne Haskins is maybe the worst I've been saying this, Kev, you were even here when I was saying this before the draft, your first time filling in. I said this 1,000 times. I would rather have drafted Daniel Jones than Dwayne Haskins. I don't care. Even though I think Daniel Jones is a bust, it's awful. His ability to read a defense is so bad. I swear. I think he's aiming for the opposing team. Also, quick fun stat. Daniel Jones is now 4-0 against the Washington football team. Against all other teams in his career, 1-16.
First half. You had me in the first half, however. I mean, look. Poor Danny Dimes. That's all I'm going to say.
Ooh, let's play. I have a fun game we can play.
Okay.
Dwayne Haskins or blank. I'm going to name quarterbacks. You guys tell me who you'd rather have.
Okay, we can do this quick. Let's go.
Jamarcus Russell.
Russell.
Pat.
I'm sorry, you cut out for the first part of that. Who am I choosing from?
Dwayne Haskins or Jamarcus Russell?
Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins or Ryan Leaf?
Dwayne Haskins.
Who does Ryan Leaf even play for?
Yeah, went up. He was number 2 pick the year Peyton got drafted and then had an attitude problem, didn't play well, got addicted to drugs, went to jail, got out of jail, and now he helps people rehab from drugs.
Can I choose Johnny Manziel instead?
Okay, Johnny Football or Dwayne Haskins?
Dwayne Haskins.
Johnny Football.
Oh, I'd take Johnny Football any day of the week.
Oh,
there's
a
short list of quarterbacks that I would take ahead of Johnny Football. And that was Dwayne Haskins or whoever.
I love when they did that for Dak Prescott on a podcast once I heard, and it literally got to 20th quarterback, and then they finally said Prescott. I was like, oh boy. This was this offseason, by the way, after we put up ridiculous numbers. Two film guys from NFL Network were literally just playing this game on a podcast. I'm like, oof. And they said Matt Ryan or Dak Prescott. I was like, oh my God, if they take Ryan, they're both Matt Ryan. I'm like, oh. So,
did you say they took Matt Ryan in that? Oh my God, no.
They had Prescott ranked 18th.
I'm shaking my head at that.
12th, and I am leading the Dak Prescott hate train, and I have him ranked 12th.
Look, before the next time that I come on this podcast, I'm going to actually list in order who I think are the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But I don't know how anyone could think that Matt Ryan's better than Dak Prescott.
One quarterback they picked over him, right? No, I'm just kidding. Bears Titans. Damn it, Henry, only 7 fantasy points? You suck.
Well, the Bears are finally starting to play like the Bears that we all know and love, just losing games.
Kyle Trask, hope you like the cold. Have fun in Chicago.
All right, Vikings and Lions.
Hey, Dalvin's still cooking. That's all I'm going to say.
Jesus Christ, I hate that phrase. It's so annoying.
I said it last week, said it this week.
When Chris Berman says it, it's fine. But when anyone else says it, I'm like, please stop.
Oh, Lord. I love how the Lions can't even beat a team that's trying to lose.
It's true. Hey, Jared, how's your NFC North pick going?
It is. Everyone's like, Jared, you picked the Vikings. I'm like, yeah, they have the second best. They have the third best running back in the league. And they're like, yeah, but Kirk Cousins. I'm like, oh, yeah. No corners. Oh, yeah. I picked the Vikings this year. I picked the Lions last year.
You picked the Lions this year, too, and I remember because Mike and I talked about it.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I switched it. I originally had the Vikings. Not a good day for me.
All right, next game, Jared.
Oh, I thought that was your sentence, just busting my balls?
Yes.
Oh, typical Kevin. All right, Panthers-Chiefs. This game scared the daylights out of me for my picks this week. What the fuck, Aaron? Dude, I came to Kansas City. What the shit, man? Oh, that's my sentence.
Well, my sentence is, are the Chiefs starting to slip a little?
They are sloppy.
Yeah, I don't know what it was about that game, but there's my sentence. Are the Chiefs starting to slip a little?
I retract me saying I was wrong. I was right about Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, I mean, oh man, I can't with this crap. I really can't. Oh, it's just this game had. I'm like, wait, the score is what? What? I'm just like, cause I already went 0-3 in college this week. I needed a win here. All right. Texans at Jaguars. Once again, somebody had to win this.
Deshaun Watson, still kind of good at football.
So is Will Fuller. Sucks he's stuck in Houston.
Yeah. Jags got screwed.
Oh, no. That's a good sentence. All right. Ravens and Colts. Oh, you know what? Rivers, dude, what the hell? Like, this game was literally, I watched every play of this game. It was literally Indianapolis was just pounding the snot out of them. And whoop, done.
So, my one sentence here is, what is a catch in the NFL? And that comes off of the Marcus Peters interception from Marcus Johnson. How can we just finally like agree just like universally on what defines
that
a catch?
That wasn't a catch. Even Marcus Peters was like, I swear you could tell the way he was looking. He's like, how is that? Because that flipped the whole game. That changed momentum. Like,
yeah.
They just got a forced fumble like the play before.
That's what led to like the momentum shift in the game.
Yeah, that basically screwed the Colts over like that call.
My favorite play ever. Was I think it was Marcus Peters on the interception jumping over Phillip Rivers on the ground. Completely unnecessary, and I love it.
No, it wasn't Marcus Peters. That was who he forced the fumble, but it was the safety. I can't remember his name right now, but yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. It was hysterical.
I forgot if it was the fumble or the interception. Marcus Peters had the only interception, so I was like, I got a 50-50 shot here.
Oh, I mean, honestly, those are pretty good odds. Alrighty. If my phone wouldn't freeze. All right, Seahawks and Bills.
Josh Allen looks good again.
The Seahawks need a defense.
Damn, I'm pissed I missed this game.
So
I had to watch like highlights in like the abbreviated version afterward because, you know, local TV rights. Oh, you have to watch the Colts and Ravens. Thanks, dude.
So correct me if I'm wrong here, but did Josh Allen ball out for something like 400 yards? Like, he put up an insane amount of numbers, right?
Oh, yeah. 415 and 3 touchdowns.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong on this stat, or on this fact, didn't his grandmother die, like, the week leading into this game?
Yep, didn't tell anybody. Literally kept it quiet.
That is insane that Josh Allen balled out that hard against, in my opinion, one of the best teams in the NFL right now. I mean, granted, their defense isn't, like, that good. However, for him to put up those numbers against just, you know, the Seahawks, kudos to Josh Allen. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Also, quick shout out to Bills Mafia. They donated $200,000 to a Buffalo Children's Hospital in honor of Josh Allen's grandmother.
Wow. Yeah.
Best fans, one of the best fan bases in sports by a mile. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. All right. Broncos, Falcons. I put my fantasy faith in Matt Ryan this week. He didn't let me down.
I guess the Falcons want to try and do something with their season.
They're like 2-1 against the. They're 2-1 after the firing of Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
Wow, they hated him. Is it time for the Broncos to start looking for another quarterback?
Ooh.
He played okay this week, 313, 2 touchdowns and a pick, but he hasn't played well this year, and this was the year people were like, oh, he's going to go off.
I think they need to get more help on defense. Hurt.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it sucks for the organization that Von Miller is out, but I don't think Drew Lock is necessarily, like, a generational talent. He's decent, but I don't think he's really that good.
He's a mobile Joe Flacco. That's the way I look at him.
Yeah, he's a decent quarterback, but he's a placeholder, in my opinion. He's going to end up a backup in a few years anyways, so.
Jared, I thought you were about to say that they need to get him some more help on offense.
That man's got more weapons than the damn armory. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean,
they need to get a middle linebacker. They need to get a corner. They just need to start throwing defensive weapons at him.
They need some more offensive line help, but yeah, defense is the big question mark here.
Big old question mark. And another game I wish I got to watch, Raiders-Chargers. This one was incredible. My sentence is, ouch, that sucks for San Diego.
So when I came on the show last, I'm going to passively quote myself a little bit here, where I said the Chargers' record really doesn't reflect the team that they are. So my one sentence here is, the Chargers really can't catch a break. I feel like that team, they are so much better than where they are standings-wise. And it just really sucks for that whole organization.
I just think it's wild Justin Herbert's putting up the numbers he is as a rookie, and they're 2-6.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Justin Herbert the Charles Barkley of the NFL? Do the Chargers need to look for a new quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, that take was so bad I want to shave your mustache.
I've had worse.
True, but that, I mean, I don't know what my best take is, though? Which one?
The fact that Davante Adams is not a top five receiver.
Solid take. Excellent take. It's stone cold concrete lock take.
Oh, he put up 10 catches for 170 yards and a touchdown against a decimated defense. Oh,
they have no secondary. They have no secondary. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside had 4 catches against them. Like, damn. Or 2 catches. But still, for him, that's like 8 catches to any other receiver.
If they had receivers, like another receiver, that Davante Adams' numbers would nosedive.
Oh, yeah, no. You're going to tell me Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdez Scandling are, like, even close? Those guys would be 4 and 5s on most NFL rosters right now. They're criminally trying to make I think either they're trying to prove a point that Adams is an elite receiver, or they just hate Aaron Rodgers so much they want to see him fail. Mercedes damn Lewis is their tight end. That man's so old. I remember he was catching balls from David Garrard in Jacksonville.
I think Devonta Adams is a really good wide receiver. However, I think that the Green Bay fan base definitely hypes him up way more than he deserves. If he was on another team, he's not a wide receiver one. I mean, unless it's like the New England Patriots, then yes, you're a wide receiver one because there is nobody who can actually be a wide receiver one on the team.
I like how this year Packers fans are arguing he's top five this year because other guys aren't on the field. But last year it was he is top five because if he was on the field, he would be that. He would be. You can't have it both ways, guys.
Kevin's living rent free.
Jeez.
And they're going to argue they're living rent free because I'm the one talking about it. Nope.
No, we just love doing
it. I'm just pointing out facts.
You mad, bro? You're getting pretty heated.
Facts over feelings.
All right. Next up. Whoo! Steelers Cowboys. Damn, this game gave me a heart attack. This Gilbert kid's not bad.
Yeah, who's the starting QBs for the Cowboys at this point? That's a real question that organization has to ask themselves.
I honestly think they may have found their quarterback of the future, guys.
Garrett Gilbert looks like a legit QB1 on some team. I don't think the Cowboys are going to keep him. I think because Jerry Jones already said that Dak Prescott's their quarterback. Well, yeah. Garrett Gilbert looked good and will probably get a good paycheck from another team next year and will immediately make them regret that decision.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely had a good game last week. But you're right, he's not the QB1 of the Dallas Cowboys, that's for sure. He's hopefully either like draft capital for that team or maybe some more defensive help next season. But we'll see what they do with him.
He would have to win a couple of games for there even to be a chance that he did. They don't bring back Dak. That they basically do to Dak what they did to Drew Bledsoe a couple years ago.
Which, valid point. We saw one game with them, with the Cowboys. So we'll see what's in the future for him.
If he keeps playing that way, I can see them getting 3 or 4 wins with him the rest of the way.
Probably. All right, Dolphins and Cardinals. That was fun. That was really fun. Tua versus Kyler. It was a shootout, and it lived up to the billing. Oh, here he goes. ASMR.
It's Tua time.
How is Tua only a rookie? That's my one sentence. He had a really good game for, what is that, his second actual start in the NFL?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, listen, Tua, great. I still take Herbert over him. But you know, I am sitting here in awe of Tua. I will admit, before the season, I had him ranked third. He's past Joe Burrow, even though Joe Burrow's play exceptional. Just Tua just looks like something different. The only reason Herbert's basically fighting against his defense and the other. That's why he gets the top spot. But Tua looks great.
Tua's 2-0.
Herbert should be like 7-1 if his defense didn't absolutely suck.
Yeah, if the Chargers were just a better all around team, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, I feel like they would have had a much better season than what their record shows.
Facts. All right, Saints and Buccaneers. Oof, I turned that off after quarter one.
Hey, even one of the best offenses in football has a bad game. You know, that's a game where I just kind of watch like score lines and completions and everything. But just that, I don't know how the Bucs can do that bad. Like with their offense, I don't get it.
I'm all swords.
Bucs lost the division this weekend. Saints aren't losing many more games to allow them to make up yards. Also, the people who are saying Antonio Brown killed the Bucs, shut up.
Wow. That's like the softest, like, literally, like, chip shot take I've ever seen. Oh, it was on First Take, like, literally that next morning. I woke up, I turned my TV, I'm like, are they really saying this right now? This is a thing.
They're acting like Brady threw five picks throwing to Antonio Brown, and every time he caught it, he fumbled it.
Or he was on his highlights screaming at Brady and Bruce Arians.
I honestly think, I've been saying this for weeks, I swear the chemistry between Bruce Arians and Tom Brady is really going to kill the Patriots down the stretch. I mean, kill the Buccaneers down the stretch. Force habit, sorry.
I mean, Tom Bill didn't have great chemistry at the end. I don't know. I think a 38-3 shellacking isn't a chemistry issue. There are a lot of other issues there.
To be honest, though, doesn't that feel like the Tom Brady that we've kind of come to know in the midseason of every, you know, the last few seasons of him with the Patriots, where it's just like he has like this blowout game where you just kind of feel like, man, just no one really showed up on that offense and the team just kind of sucked and maybe they'll come back. I'm not putting a lot of faith and confidence in the Bucs to just like, you know, come back and you know, get their like playoff spot back from the Saints. But I feel like there's an opportunity for the Bucs to come back. Tom Brady's going to help that team a little bit more than what the other night showed.
I think they're still a playoff team. I just think that this gave the Saints the separation they needed to win the division.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know the Saints schedule off the top of my head, but I'll take your word for it that they have a much easier schedule. But I'll never count Tom Brady out.
I will never either. All right. Last but not least, speaking of Tom Brady, his former team, Patriots and Jets. My one sentence is, damn, that was quality television.
My one sentence here is, who wanted to lose that game more?
All right.
Joe Flacco is elite.
All right, boys and girls, thanks to Pat Donahue's thoughtful thinking last time I came on. Now, we review a beer when we review our six-pack. So, without further ado, I'm up first. I've got the GOAT of all beers, my favorite beer of all time. Kevin knows this very well. Two Hearted Ale by Bell's. Great New England IPA. Crisp flavor. If it wasn't for the fact it's 7% alcohol, it'd be really crushable. So, cheers.
I already opened it, but I have a Laser Cat Imperial IPA from Medusa. It's really good. It's 8%. It's smooth, actually, for being 8%. Like, it's not too harsh. It tastes damn good.
And before the podcast, I was with old reliable there, Miller Lite.
There you go.
What's your Miller Lite review?
Miller Lite. It's crispy water.
Pretzel water, baby.
Please sponsor this podcast.
Dude, are you kidding me? That would be like the greatest thing ever. Yeah. Between how much Miller Lite the three of us would crush. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, last week we were talking about that because I had some IPA and then behind it I had like a Miller Lite for when, you know, I just couldn't drink the IPA anymore because I'm not an IPA guy.
You know, Kevin, beer blows all those out of the water, though?
What's that?
Anything by Breckenridge Brewery. No. All their beer. So good. Tastes great. Gets you drunk. It's a good time.
That's a classic Kevin review right there.
Their tagline needs to, like, taste the Rockies or something. Although Coors might sue them for that.
I was going to say, I think that might be Coors, isn't it?
No, it's Coors is cold as the Rockies.
Ah, there it is.
Yeah, no, honestly. Yeah, I
mean, if you Google it, taste of the Rockies, that's a candy store.
Not copyrighted.
There you go. All right, so last week, I actually ended up salvaging my week somehow, sort of. Took a couple L's in college.
Kev nailed his upset pick with Notre Dame beating Clemson. That game basically to me says that Clemson is the sloppiest top team I've ever seen. They have basically been like coasting, and I didn't think it was just, I thought I was just like seeing Miami was staying in that game for most of it. And then I saw it against Boston College when you took Lawrence out. And then I saw it against Notre Dame when Notre Dame was taking advantage of the sloppiness. And even if Lawrence comes back, they're probably going to win out, but it's looking shaky. So I don't know. Clemson showed a lot of errors in their perfection this week. And Notre Dame definitely exposed. I still don't trust Notre Dame though.
Notre Dame's improving every week though. You that don't want true. A team week one who looks perfect because the only place to go is down from there. Notre Dame's just games, but they're getting better, and then they just beat the number one team in the country.
True.
Although I mean, have one last
they're kind of like fake number one. What did you say?
They were not a fake number one. They were blowing teams out.
I considered Alabama the best team in the country by a mile. But like,
but that doesn't make them a fake number one. That just means that you could debate.
All right, fair enough.
And last note on that game for me.
You called me a madman. And what I predicted came to pass.
You're welcome, Mike, for getting us sued by Disney.
So, I think last week when I was on the show, I actually did shit-talk Notre Dame. Sorry. I apologize for that. I was wrong. Totally wrong.
This Talking is also about... 2 weeks in a row I nailed my upset pick.
2 weeks in a row, I airballed mine.
That's what happens when you pick Arkansas over A&M. Arkansas over anyone is a bad pick.
True. Watch, they pull the upset this week, and I'd be laughing hysterically.
They do not play A&M.
They play a ranked team this week. I can't remember who it is, though.
They play Florida.
Yeah. No, I'm going to pick Florida, and then they're going to lose. Because the Florida Gators and their stupidity live in my head rent-free. I hate those jackasses so much. They're rising up my college football hatred board. And, I hate
them every week, by the way.
It does. this week, Florida's at number two.
Oh, wow. Clemson dropped all the way to three?
Yeah. Notre Dame moved up to one. Florida State's down to five, guys. This is scary.
What even is college football right now?
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. Speaking of which, Georgia, Florida. Georgia's like an honorable mention on my college football hate board this week. What in the hell was that? That game was awful. Holy mother of God, that was terrible.
Let me tell you where you went wrong.
They have no
quarterback. You picked Kirby Smart in a big game. That's a big no-no.
But Dan Mullen's in a big game is awful, too.
Two, and this is what really hurt you, you picked Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't like Kyle Trask as much as the next guy, but he's a better quarterback than Stetson
Bennett. I know. And I thought I might have a chance when, like, their tight end got knocked out in the second quarter. I was like, oh, maybe I'll have a shot here. Nope. Hard no.
Over.
Kevin now takes a 3.5-point lead over me in the standings, by the way.
Congratulations, Kevin.
And knowing his luck, he's going to lose it in a week.
Dude, as long as I kill my college picks, that's all I care about.
Yeah, I've been shooting so bad in college lately, I'm just going to start picking games I know are locks.
Half the time, college is what saves me.
Yeah, NFL is usually what saves my bacon, except for the fucking Ravens Colts. Ugh. All right, BYU and BSU, this is my upset pick. I thought BYU, I didn't know how legit they were. I stand corrected. Boise State's played very well this year. On the blue turf, I figured, you know what, they got a shot, and then, no, and Kevin, I literally want to punch you through the screen right now. Oh, my
Future Patriots
Lord,
quarterback, Zach little... Wilson, baby!
Oh, my God. Kevin's out here dancing like the gopher from Caddyshack in the background. They're about the same height, it makes sense. All right. Whew!
They talk for a minute went 0-3. I mean, Jared should be used to going 0-3, though. He does root for Miami.
You know what? They only have one loss this year.
this year.
And two, I am still the only person in the show's history to get a perfect week.
Congrats.
I know. 8-0. That 8-0 week 7. That week 3. That was my magnum opus. No, week 4. That was the year. That was the week the Eagles pulled off the beat the Niners. That was my magnum opus. I peaked week 4. All right. NFL Seahawks Bills. I nailed this pick. This was my original upset pick, and I talked myself into Boise State like a jackass.
Did I take Seattle in this one?
Yeah, you took the Seahawks. Or else the lead would have been a lot bigger. You also took Baltimore over Indy in a game that basically got hosed by a bad interception call. And then we both took the Titans over the Bears because we're not idiots. Your gimme was OSU smacking Rutgers. That came true. Mine was Kansas City smacking frickin' Panthers. And, of course, I had a mini heart attack. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
I think going forward, if you get your gimme wrong, you lose.
Minus a point, I think. Yeah, I think that's a fair bet. Because that happened to Savannah last year. She missed a gimme, and we were all like.
As a third-party observer in this, I agree that should be a thing with your picks.
All right. Well, next week, we got a lot of good games coming up, so it's going to be fun this week. All right, we're not going to pick Alabama, LSU, even if they do play. I think Alabama might run them off the field by like, first quarter.
Yeah, by the end of the week, we might not have any SEC games to pick.
Jesus, it's like, okay, so, side note, I didn't even know Miami had 6-7 guys out for COVID. But, like, they did. They just didn't tell anybody except for the NCAA and the team, North Carolina State. They kept it quiet. They told their players to stay home, and it was not even news until in the middle of a broadcast, I hear, I don't even know who it was, the Friday, maybe Brock Heward go, they, like, 6 players, including 2 receivers and 1 offensive lineman, out with COVID. I'm like, damn Hurricanes. But it looks like they'll get 2 of those guys back this week. It was their bye week, so that's why they lucked out. All right, time for quick note, fellas, the Masters are this weekend. It feels so damn weird. It feels like Masters weather outside, though. I was wearing a tank top all day. It was great. Go Tiger. That's all I'll say. Any picks y'all want? Any you guys are pulling for in the Masters this week, year, boys?
Justin Thomas, Roll Tide, baby.
Fair enough.
Low-key, I always kind of want to see Tiger Woods do well. I wouldn't say like I follow golf that much. But it's like, hearing things about Tiger Woods, it's still kind of, you know, it's enjoyable.
It's the Michael Jordan effect for golf.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's just, you know, you want to see, like, what ceiling he can reach before he actually retires.
And for the first time since Mark retired from this podcast, we brought up golf. I actually might watch I actually might, like, check in after Eagles-Giants on Sunday. Oh, by the way, boys and girls, we got another Collide watch party for Eagles Giants. Kevin's going to be pure entertainment as usual. Check it out. Hopefully this time Philadelphia doesn't play like hot garbage like they did against Dallas. We got a bunch of guys coming off IR, but more on that later. Should be a good time. It's at Get Collide app on Twitter. It should be under Eagles watch party, I believe, but there'll be updates later in the week. So should be a good time.
Speaking of the Masters, did you see what Justin Thomas said?
I did not. I haven't even checked Twitter today about it.
For those who don't know, Justin Thomas went to the University of Alabama. So I said Roll Tide. And so he has an early tee time on Sunday. Or if he's in contention going into Sunday with the early tee times, is it a good or bad thing for him, if Alabama does or does not play LSU? His response? I mean, we're going to beat them by about 70, so I don't think it really makes a difference.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, go Tigers. Coach O was a little over his skis this season.
Guys, be nice to Coach O. He just got divorced.
Yeah, I think he's living his best life. Don't you worry about that. All right, because he's pulling some Joey Joey Freshwater shit out there in Baton Rouge there, Kev.
At least he's not a coward into showing his face.
Oh, no, he don't care.
It's a little different. Joey Freshwater was married.
He's also jacked, by the way. Has anybody noticed that?
Coach O?
Coach O is, like, surprisingly jacked for his age. It's actually pretty impressive.
No, but I think that's going to be in my Google search history now.
Make sure you go to incognito mode for that. Get a little
lotion. No, of course. Yeah.
Wonder if Coach O has an OnlyFans. Matt, wait
Kevin
till after
brings up OnlyFans. See, like, the man who introduced us all to Kevin's OnlyFans searches, Plaxico Burress and Antonio Brown. That was a dark episode in our show. All right.
Speaking of LSU, what I said, if I can see the bullet wound, I will get Plaxico Burress's OnlyFans.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. All right. Next up, speaking of LSU and Alabama, we got some COVID fun. Kevin, like, 5 Steelers, including Ben Roethlisberger, tested positive. The SEC, there's, like, 3 games already canceled. How many more on the way?
Oh, it's – Alabama-LSU, I know, is one of the Mississippi's.
It's canceled completely? Oh, it's canceled or it is going to be canceled?
Let me find it. I saw it on Twitter. Let's look. Of course, I'm on the main belly of Twitter, so all my freaking Alabama follows aren't going to come up when I search this. SEC.
Side note, this definitely are the Steelers going into a bye this week? Because if they are, that's like luck and a half of them. No, they play, their bye was week 4.
Yeah, because they had a bye because of a canceled game.
Yeah, I thought they
the Titans don't believe in COVID.
Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, so the Steelers take on the Bengals.
Oh.
Joey B gets a little dub over the Bengals. Apparently this game is on – I'm going to get this game on Fox somehow. It's the 425. It's America's Game of the Week somehow. How'd that happen? Yeah, that's America's Game of the Week, by the way, folks. I like, not Seahawks-Rams, not 49ers-Saints. No, I get Bengals-Steelers without Ben Roethlisberger. Guys, we're going to see a Mason – we're going to see a Dent-head appearance.
Now, is anyone on the Steelers' defense affected by COVID-19?
Yeah, Vince Williams, their defensive tackle who hurdled a blocker. By the way, still the coolest thing I saw on Sunday was I watched a 300-pound man hurdle a running back to sack – or try to sack Eric Gilbert. It was beautiful.
I think that's illegal now. The Ravens bitched about that, unless they only made it on kicks.
It's only on kicks, because what happened was it was a chip block, and he hurled him. I'm like, if you can still do it in Madden, it ain't illegal. So,
no, because I remember teams did it for a while, and then the Patriots did it to the Ravens, and they're like, oh, this is a problem. So
it was a block. Because remember, Cam Chancellor and Troy Polamalu used to specialize in that. They would do like their long jump over it and they block a kick.
David Thulin did it to the Ravens, I think.
Yeah, and that's what caused.
Who was it on the? Who was it on the? Collins.
Say it again.
Who was it, Jamie Collins?
Yeah, Jamie Collins did it, and then after he left for his little sabbatical in Cleveland, I think Shea McClellan did it.
Well, that's because Jamie Collins also was a freak athlete. I watched that man do a backflip, like literally flip flops.
So, Mississippi State, Georgia, I believe. Okay. Nope, that's next weekend. Which game got postponed? It might be Auburn. Yeah, Mississippi State, Auburn got postponed. Alabama at LSU got postponed. And Texas A&M at Tennessee got postponed. And the teams to blame are Mississippi State, LSU, and A&M.
Scroll those teams.
LSU's running. They're scared.
Yeah, they're trying to cancel the season because they know they're going to suck this year.
They ran their mouths all offseason. They don't want
inside information. They're trying to tank the season with COVID. No, probably not. COVID is not a laughing matter. It's a serious matter. But, all right. Time for America's second favorite game that Kevin brought up earlier. Stay or go, or stay or call. So, boys, are you staying for another round, or are you bailing? So, here we go. Are you guys staying or calling on Clemson? Because they played like shit in the back end of that game, and for most of that game on Saturday, with a slight little 5-minute stretch, they played great. Notre Dame is improving every week, like Kevin said. I still don't think they're a national contender. I still okay. So here's how I'll judge it. I still would give certain teams in the top, like back into the top 10, a shot of beating them. That's why I don't consider. But I think they got a good win on Clemson and they caught lightning in a bottle. That's my opinion. But are you guys bailing or staying on Clemson being a national title contender?
I'm saying they're about to run through the ACC, win the ACC title handily, and then make it to the college football playoffs.
I'll stay on them, and I've been pretty adamant that college football is like my Achilles heel. But I still trust Trevor Lawrence. You know, I think he can make up for any shortcomings that team might actually have.
I think I'm staying for now. If they have another close game, even with Lawrence back, then I'm going to start like, all right, there's some blood in the water here. Like, what's wrong? My issue comes down to really, it's just it's the sloppiness of the game. And even on defense, where was that elite Brett Venables defense that we saw weeks on end? They looked sloppy. They looked like they thought they had it in the bag before the game even started. I think... one, Pat, they should start running the triple option. That's the way they're going to go undefeated. But right now, you know what? Until they get another game to one possession against a team they have no business being close to, I'm staying with them for now. ACC title game, we'll talk, because it's either going to be they're either playing Miami or Notre Dame in the ACC title game. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, that triple option comment really just solidifies it for me that, you know, stay on Clemson.
There you go. All right. Next up, two teams that are in the top 10 that if you talked to me before the season, unless you were from the great state of Utah or the great city of Cincinnati, you had no idea the Bearcats or the Cougars were going to be in the top 10. So BYU, Cincinnati, boys, are we buying these? Are we staying with these teams for another round, or are we rolling out of here?
So last week, I came on the show and kind of shit-talked Cincy a little bit. Now I kind of feel the need to 180 on that. I guess I have to eat crow a little bit and stay on Cincy.
Kev?
I'm going to stay on him, I think. I think they're going to do well going forward. I think both teams are going to win. And with how the rest of the conferences are looking with all conference schedules, one of them could even end up sneaking in as a 4 seed.
That's the kicker. It would have to be something crazy, like a 2 seed knocking off an undefeated team in the championship game or something like that. It'd have to be some crazy scenario, but I do agree with you. I'm staying for both for now. Cincinnati's kind of like that odd cousin team I root for, as like, you know, like they're kind of like, oh, they're always fun to watch. I looked at them in high school. I love their logo and everything else. My dad also travels Cincinnati all the time. So I got a little connection with the city a little bit. I watched the Bearcats play 3 times now, because apparently the American Athletic only plays their games at 3:30 on a Saturday, apparently. So that's my option, unless I want to watch an SEC slugfest. So they look good. They're not losing to any team in their conference. They beat the two best teams that they're going to take on, SMU or Memphis. So unless – was it SMU? I don't even know. But they beat two – oh, it's Houston, sorry. They beat two solid teams in their conference. I'm gonna see them keep on rolling. BYU, they haven't played. The first good team they played all year was Boise State, and they smacked them. I'm staying with them both. I think for now, watch. I stay with them, and they're both gonna lose this week. But honestly, they're both gonna be good teams. Like, the top 10 in college football this year looks hysterical. It's, like, so odd. Like, you have A&M, Miami, BYU, freaking Cincinnati. And then, you have the normals, the normies, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Alabama. But it's just an odd. It's just this whole weird college football season. Next up, we're switching to NFL. I literally wrote this down as Saints, Bucks, what the fuck? Guys, what was that game? Are you buying the Saints as legitimate contenders to win a chip? Or is it just like they caught them on a bad day? They're probably going to win the division, but I don't see them beating anybody. The NFC makes no sense anymore anyway. So,
Bucks had a bad game. I'm going to pass on the Saints. I think they caught the Bucks with their pants down.
Fair enough, Kevin.
I'm staying on the Saints to win and be competitive. I'm staying on the Bucks to win and be competitive. I don't think either of them is going to win a championship this year.
I hear you. I think we're going to get a team. The NFL, you guys know, it's all about momentum. We saw it during the Colts Ravens game. It's going to be a team. We're now at the halfway point of the season, exactly right now. It's going to be a team that's just going to catch heat coming down the back end. This feels like a year where, like, you know, like the Packers were a wild card team, ended up rolling to the Super Bowl, or Giants in 07. Sorry, buddy. Sorry, boys. But like, it's kind of like that where like a team's going to get hot, and then you're like, oh, the momentum, it's going to happen, because there's like no clear distinct favorite. You look in the AFC, every AFC team has a flaw. Every NFC team has a flaw or two or three. So it's going to be really odd, especially with the expanded playoffs. You might see a team that finishes 9-7 and they just get hot. Like they win 6 in a row or 4 in a row and they make it to the playoffs and they are the team you don't want to play. So I think right now I'm staying with the Saints at least winning a division. The Buccaneers thing, I would probably catch like the 6th or 5th seed. They're still a good team. I just think they just are the chemistry thing. I'm going to keep reiterating it more and more. I just don't see them looking past this. I think it's going to keep killing them because you see the difference between Brady. I think also, as much as I think Brady is the GOAT and obviously is like a great quarterback still, I think Arians wants to throw the ball deep, but he can't because of Brady, because Brady wants to do his intermediate to short throws because that's what he is still the perfect person for. So I don't know. Like, the game also just felt odd to me. The game plan felt off, but it's odd.
I can also see both teams only losing one game the rest of the way. They don't play each other again. I think the Bucs could lose two, looking at their schedule. The Chiefs, the only real test the Saints have is the Chiefs coming up, week 15. Other than that, 49ers, Falcons, Broncos, Falcons, Eagles, Saints week 15.
Monday night in Philadelphia, though. It's going to be closer than you think.
It's not closer than I think.
Yep.
Vikings and then Panthers. I can't wait, though, for the Eagles to win the NFC East and then get smacked by the Broncos or the Bucs.
Here's the weirdest thing is that, well, I'll talk about this in the last call because they played to their competition. They took the Steelers and the Ravens the whole distance. Just a bad call here, an extra point there. That's what kills them. They beat themselves. All right. It's time for last call. Oh, okay. Have you got some weird for me quick?
I do, actually.
Okay, so we're going to postpone last call quick. So, Kev, what you got for me?
So, Tony La Russa just got hired by the White Sox. Managed last for the Cardinals from 96 to 2011. Jesus, he managed there a while. 3-time World Series champion. Also manager. 4-time manager of the year. Cardinals retired his jersey. He's in the Athletics Hall of Fame for what he did as a player. He's in the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer. And he got hired. And then it came out this weekend that he was charged with a Dewey October 28th from an event in February.
The White Sox said, is that a DUI for those of us who don't know what a Dewey is?
Yes, it's a DUI.
Oh, thank you.
White Sox came out. The weirdest thing ever. White Sox came out and said they knew about it when they hired him. That's not what you do. You come out and say, like, we didn't have all the facts, we were waiting for him to get charged, but, you know, no one got hurt, we're still going to keep him on as manager. Whatever. But while he was getting arrested, or pulled over, he said to the cop, "I'm a Hall of Famer, bro," and showed him his World Series ring.
Wow.
Hard flex.
Which, I don't like the, do you know who I am, blah, 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 or as Jerry Krause put it, or the "do you know who my boyfriend is" in terms
of. Oh my God!
But I'm a Hall of Famer, bro. Might be the best line ever.
I think I'm gonna start using that line. I'll change the wording because I'm not a Hall of Famer, but like that's like great.
It's so gross. It's like when Kareem Hunt got like pulled over and hot mic'd, like talking about, you know, he's like, "Oh, I'm like a football player," as he's like clearly like shit faced. And, like, the cop's pulling him out of his car. He's like, "Oh, is that a bottle of vodka?" He's like, yeah, but, like, I just got so much shit going on, like, I don't know, it's so scummy. It's funny in, like, a weird, bad kind of way, but...
Because no one got hurt, if this was vehicular manslaughter, that would be one thing. And I'm not condoning what he did, I think that's horrible, but looking at it after the fact, I'm a Hall of Famer, bro, is kind of a great line.
That's a really funny line to have, for sure, though, like...
any instance, actually, I think it would have been funny if he's like waiting a while for his food at McDonald's. He goes, "Hey, I'm a Hall of Famer, bro. Let's pick it up."
Let's get this line going.
Sign endorsement deal with Lyft or Uber because he's probably got his license clocked at this point. In most states, a Dewey's an automatic 1 month gone, no questions asked. Usually. So.
Yeah, there you go. New sponsorship deal with Uber.
Yeah, Tony La Russa signed a deal with Uber or Lyft. There you go. All right.
Let's tag Uber in this in the post on Twitter and see if they can get that ball rolling.
Great.
Oh, he's had multiple DUIs also, by the way.
Yeah, so definitely he's probably got his license clocked at this point. All right. I got mine clocked for a freaking, like, being on my phone ticket. Let's be straight here. Driving laws in this country are ridiculous. All right. That dude was texting me. I don't want to hear it.
I didn't know you were driving, and it could have waited. It wasn't an emergency.
Actually, no, it wasn't even your fault. Mark blew up the phone. It was that chat we used to have, the three of us. Because Mark kept complaining about his scheduling problems. Anyway, it's okay. I drive like a grandpa now. Let's kick that smooth jazz. It's time for last call. All right, folks, we're calling an audible today. My Patriots fans are suffering, they're hurting, they don't know what the hell's going on. I'll give the two of them in this room right now as Kevin slams back whatever he's drinking. Coke Zero, always good. I like Coke Zero sugar. I like Coca Life better. That's the one I like the most. Alright, here we go. Kev or Pat, y'all figured out amongst yourselves, 2.5 minutes on the clock between the two of you, 5 minutes total, let's rock and roll.
Audrey?
All right. So, to those people who were fortunate or unfortunate enough, depending on your viewpoint, to have received a slew of texts from me during the Jets game, there was a phrase I threw around a lot. And the phrase that I'm talking about is, the Patriots have been hair of the dogging their Super Bowl hangover for too long. And the last night, the Patriots had the opportunity to potentially tank their season and get a better draft pick. Now, depending on your viewpoint, some people I talked to were talking about, like, oh, we should keep trying. What are we trying for? Do we even really have a wild card shot this year? Do we have the team that can have a decent playoff run? I think no. I don't think that the Patriots have the roster to really mount, like, a good playoff run this year. So, in my opinion, it's time to tank. It's time to get that better draft pick. But last night, I really threw a wrench in that. We kind of just allowed the Jets to win. I don't understand what the Patriots are doing. We're just playing for pride, which that's really cool. It's really cool to watch the Patriots win, but what about next season? And what about the season after that? What about the quarterback position? What about our wide receivers? What about the majority of our defense besides the McCourty twins? And, you know, a few names here and there. So my thing is, New England Patriots, figure out your shit. Either tank for the season or somehow devise some Belichickian scheme to just win the Super Bowl. And that's all I got on that subject.
2 minutes, all right. Kevin, 3 minutes. Floor is yours.
I have been all aboard the tank train for a while now. If you listen to Sound Off, I gave my ideal situation for the Patriots. I gave my ideal draft situation for them. Shannon roasted me for it because it constituted drafting Najee Harris, Jalen Waddle, and Mac Jones. But that was partially joking, but I do think it's time to tank. I think what they need to do is in the offseason, well, they should have made moves at the deadline. They should have tried to give up Stephon Gilmore, trade away Devin. I hate to say it. I love him. Trade away Devin McCourty. He's too good. It's like Rajon Rondo with the Celtics a couple years ago. He will win you too many games to get a good draft pick. Devin McCourty can do that at the free safety position. Not as well as he could have a couple years ago when he was still young and a spry young buck. But I think that you get rid of him. Keep Jason McCourty because he's garbage sometimes. He'll lose you plenty of games. Keep Cam, but say he tore his ACL or something. Put him on IR for the whole year. Don't play him. So when we draft a quarterback, they can sit for a year because that's what makes quarterbacks great, apparently.
I'm going to go and... to kick off my talk of Philadelphia. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, my Eagles have been a punching bag of jokes for Pat probably the last 4 years, right? I mean, four Absolutely. Weeks, right?
4 years is still accurate.
Yeah, we won the Super Bowl 4 years ago. It's all good. It's been a rough season for your boy. I have watched my team blow leads to teams that shouldn't even, like, be even close. I have watched us come back from games that aren't even, like, and, like, us take, you know, us take it to teams that we have no business in the NFL's rankings mind or most fans' mind. We're in games against teams that are going to probably be Super Bowl contenders. And it comes down to a extra point, missed field goal, drop touchdowns, a bad coverage scheme, whatever you want to call it. But there is some hope on the horizon. For the first time ever, you hear me right, the Eagles caught an injury break. They got a guy who tested positive for COVID in the facility. Well, guess what happened? They were on bye. Nobody was in the building. Nobody else tested positive. Our backup safety, Marcus Epps, caught COVID. He's fine. He's asymptomatic. Kevin has returned from the dead. And somehow, some way, the Eagles caught an injury break. I don't know how it's possible, but they did. I think the gods are smiling on us. Football gods are smiling on us for once. Also good news. After the break, Miles Sanders and Isaac Seumalo, three of our starters, running back, wide receiver, and offensive guard extraordinaire, respectively, and best hair in the NFL, or top five. They're all coming back. So I know Kevin ripped my Eagles apart and all that other stuff. Also, Darius Slay left the game against Dallas. He's fine. It was a day-to-day injury. He's good now. I'm not saying we're gonna go undefeated the rest of the way. Probably not. Do I think we have a decent shot of actually having a decent back end of the year? Getting hot? Possibly winning a game in the wild card? Sure. So you know what? There's all optimism in Philadelphia land. And that actually, I'm actually a minute 30 over, under. So Kevin, you got a minute 30 on the clock, buddy. You got to finish about the Patriots?
To finish my point? Yes. Yeah. Trade everyone, tank, draft Zach Wilson. Because Bill Belichick said last week, he was kind of right. Like, they sold out. They got aging players, spent a lot of money to win three Super Bowls, appear in another one, and appear in another AFC Championship game. They did sell out. And my dad's raised the question, like, I don't know if Bill can draft talent still. That's fair, but when they're trading out of the first round every year, that's going to happen. I don't... Now, N'Keal Harry is a horrible pick. I'm so mad. I looked at his pre-draft measurables, and I'm like, why was this man drafted ahead of half the receivers after him? I don't get it. But really, that was the main point I was trying to make. Tank, draft Zach Wilson, win more.
Fair enough. All right, boys, both good points. That about wraps it up for us today. Pat, thank you once again for coming on, buddy. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
A friend and family of the show. We always love having him on. Kev and me will be back Thursday. Kev's raising your hand. What do you got, Kev?
One more point that we didn't touch on because it's the off season for basketball. But rest in peace, Tommy Heinsohn. Grew up listening to you call Celtics games. I loved hearing you complain about refs' calls every time. Missed you. Basically, Mark III. I'm going to miss you calling Isaiah Thomas the little guy. He is the most important Celtic ever. He has been part of the team for every single ring they won. He won 8 as a coach, 2 or 8 as a player, 2 as a coach, and then was a broadcaster for every single one after that. It's going to be rough. The next one they win when Tommy Heinsohn is not involved, but he will be missed.
RIP. All right. Well, folks, live is our live stream is Thursday with a possible surprise guest from a certain fantasy football show you all know and love. And on top of that, there will be the return of our weekend edition. Me and Kev are actually going to do it this week on Friday. So get ready for that. It's going to be a fun show as we break down the fact that I'm probably still going to airball a couple of my college football picks. But I'm Jared. That's Pat. That's Captain Mustachio Kev. We will catch you guys on Thursday. Bye.
Peace.
Hey guys, Jared, thanks for checking out the Corner Booth Pod. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Corner Booth Pod. This podcast is brought to you by the Belly Up Podcast Network.